Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
So today we're going to look at the fifth I Am statement, where Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples and Martha, and he tells them a very specific phrase. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." But before we dive into this I am statement or this declaration that Jesus made, I want to give you some background and some information of what was happening so that you can better understand the context of the story. Are you with me? So here you have Jesus was traveling and he is ministering. And as he's ministering, he gets a word from Mary and Martha that his good friend, Lazarus, is now sick. And upon finding this information out, he turns to his disciples and he tells them that this will not end in death. And he tells them that whatever is about to happen is so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now the Bible tells us that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, but when he heard that he was sick, he didn't move right away. The Bible says they told him he was sick. He got the news and he understood, but he didn't move right away and he waited for two more days. Now this is pretty interesting because Jesus' delay had a very specific purpose. Basically, Jesus allowed Lazarus to die so that Jesus could later on resurrect him from the dead and teach them a very valuable lesson. See, had Jesus responded right away, had he gone to see Lazarus when Mary and Martha told him that he was sick, he might have just healed him instead of letting him die. And this is a heavy principle, because sometimes we go through some things in life and we don't understand the reason or the why, but the Bible tells me that God knows the end from the beginning. He is the author and the perfecter of my faith. So I don't always understand the why, but we serve a God that has great intent in everything that he does. Are you with me this morning? If you open your heart, I promise you this is going to get good. See, because I've been through some things and sometimes I can't always come to the conclusion on why it happened. As a matter of fact, there are some things that I've been through that when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask, now, why did I have to go through that? Come on, don't look at me. Some of you are going through some stuff right now. You're like, why? Just wave at me if you've been there. In this case, Lazarus was sick and he was dying, and Jesus chose to wait a few days before responding to Mary and Martha's concern. But because his intent all along was to bring glory to the Father and to display the power that he had over death. Now, at the time, it didn't make sense to neither Martha or Mary. So when Jesus finally shows up to see Lazarus, the Bible tells us that Martha comes running out to him and she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But what she didn't know was that Jesus was going to use death. He was going to use death to teach them a lesson about who he really was. Understand this morning. We may not always understand why we go through hardship. Sometimes we're going to question the Lord, but he has reason and he knows the why. If some of us would stop focusing on the circumstance and start seeking him for the why, we just might find this thing called peace. If we just learn to seek God out for the why, you know it's okay to question God sometimes. It's all right to question. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 26, that when from one man, God created all men. And he marked their time in history, marked their boundary line. Verse 27 said, he did this so that they might seek him, though he's not far from them. I got good news for you. God ain't lost. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for some of us, it's just going to be a shifting of a mentality, learning to seek Him, learning to change our response, learning not to respond to negativity, and learning to find Him in the midst of the struggle. I know that sometimes it doesn't feel good. I know that sometimes it's unbearable, but listen, I got good news for you. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He conquered death. And if He conquered death, He can give you everything you need to live life to its fullest. See, this morning, I want to speak to your spirit. I don't want to talk to your outward body. Because it's easy to give in to our emotions. But I got good news for you. How you feel doesn't determine your end result. We serve a God that can zap your spirit if you allow Him. So here we have Martha. She doesn't understand the why. The grieving Martha wished that Jesus had arrived earlier so He could have healed her brother. And when Jesus spoke of resurrection, Martha assumed He was speaking of the resurrection of the last day. We'll get into that later. She did not quite understand His response, but He tells her, I know He will rise again. Or she tells Jesus, I know He will rise again on the last day. And this is where Jesus makes the heavy declaration. And we find the fifth I am statement of Jesus in verse number 25. He looks at her after and He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in Me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives by believing in Me will never die. Do you believe this? That's some heavy stuff. She was like, well, I know that you can, basically her attitude was like, I know you can do it. And I know that one day it's going to happen. But her attitude was kind of like, well, I know you can do it, but I don't know that you would do it for me. And every now and then we approach God like that. God wants to bless us. And we're like, well, God, I know you can do it for them. I know you did, but I don't know that you would do it for me. The same God that I serve, the same God that you serve, is alive and well. He can minister to your heart, and He can help you through any situation. See, when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, He was making a statement about His divine nature. Someone say divine nature. Jesus would later on raise Lazarus from the dead, and this gives us a glimpse of what was to come. See, Jesus had power over life and death, as well as power to forgive sins. And this was all made possible because Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and arose from the grave. Now, there's a few things that I think we need to understand about the resurrection that I want to give you. I want to give you four things this morning about the resurrection. Is that all right? Are you with me? Number one, the resurrection is the central doctrine of our faith. And I feel like this needs to be taught because a lot of Christians do not understand the role that the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ plays in our faith. You ask some believers about the resurrection and they'll tell you, well, that's what happened on Easter. That is the Super Bowl of Christianity. But there's much more than the resurrection than just Jesus raising from the dead. The resurrection is the foundation of our faith. Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. In order to be saved, you simply have to declare with your mouth that He is Lord and confess and believe that God physically raised Him from the dead. It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ that provides us forgiveness and freedom from the condemnation of our sin. Jesus went to the cross because of our sin, but He was raised from the dead to provide justification and salvation to every one of us. Are you with me? See, this resurrection is the central doctrine of our faith, which leads me to the second thing you have to understand about the resurrection. Number two, without a physical resurrection, our gospel is pointless. Listen to me this morning. Some people are like, what? But listen to me. We got to listen. In the last days, we got to know what we believe. You got to be able to speak and give an account to anyone that needs to hear. And some of us have been around a long time, but these are truths that you got to know. If you're going to live victoriously, when you face, this is why, see, I think that even some of the old prophets before Jesus came, they held to the confession that they knew that there would be a Messiah. They understood the God that they served. And this is why people like King David said, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no man. This is why Job said, I will see God in the flesh and with my own eyes. If you think about that statement is prophetic. What do you mean that you're going to see God with your physical flesh and with your own eyes? I don't want to jump ahead of myself. We'll get there. But without a physical resurrection, there is no Christianity. See, many people partially believe in the resurrection, but don't understand it in its entirety. There is a whole theology that comes from Christ rising from the dead. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that Jesus is coming back. And when he does, the dead in Christ shall rise and be resurrected and united with him. Now let me ask you this, why does this matter? Because most believers partially believe in the resurrection. They believe Jesus rose from the dead, but they don't understand that our physical bodies will one day rise again. Are you with me this morning? Are some of you learning something? Just wave at me. Just nod, just smile at me. We as believers have to understand the fullness of Jesus' physical resurrection. I read this and I thought it was pretty interesting. It said this. Andy Alcorn, who is one of the gurus of heaven and one of the theologians, he wrote this, and I really thought about this. He said, the major Christian creeds state, I believe in the resurrection of the body, but I have found in many conversations that Christians tend to spiritualize the resurrection of the dead, effectively denying it. That's heavy. I'm going to read that again. The major creeds of Christianity, the majority believe in the resurrection of the body, but I have found in many conversations that Christians tend to spiritualize the resurrection of the dead, effectively denying it. They don't deny it as a doctrine, but they deny its meaning that we will permanently resurrect one day into a physical world. See, when you and I die, when we're buried, our spirits are going to go to heaven, but one day we're going to be reunited with Christ. In other words, heaven is for real. Is anybody excited about heaven? Are you with me? I'm going to act like that didn't happen because you should get excited when we talk about heaven. Heaven is for real. All right. One more time. Heaven is for real. If we are not living to spend eternity with him, what we do is pointless. Listen to me this morning. I don't think that we as believers think about heaven enough. I've been dreaming about heaven. I've been thinking. I've been asking. I've been doing research. And I think come July, we're going to do a series on heaven alone. Because I think we need to know what heaven is going to be like. The Bible gives us so much information about why we do what we do. But if there is no physical resurrection, our gospel is pointless. And this is the concept that a lot of believers have a hard time understanding. We even read in 1 Corinthians 15, the Corinthians had a hard time understanding this concept. So the Apostle Paul tells them this. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 says, but if we preach that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he died, not raised him. In fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So why is it important to believe in the physical resurrection? Because without it, we're still stuck in our sins. We're still condemned to hell. But thank God that Jesus, when they went to that tomb, wasn't there. Thank God that somehow God rolled away that tomb, rolled away that stone, and God resurrected in his physical body. Here the Apostle Paul was addressing the Greek people because most Greeks did not believe that people's bodies would be resurrected after death. Let me explain to you what they believed. They believed that the afterlife was something that only happened to our soul. And according to Greek philosophy, the soul was they believed that the soul was a real person imprisoned within a physical body, and at death, they believed the soul was released into the afterlife. You know what's heavy about that? That's what a lot of people believe today. They believe that when we die, we're just going to go. And then the picture that most people have of heaven is what Hollywood teaches us. We're going to have wings and we're going to hover through walls. I don't know that the Bible actually says that. There's that great thing that people do, and if you've done it, I'm not coming against you. But people, when people die, they say you received your wings now in heaven. I don't know that the Bible actually says that. All I'm saying is we got to know what we believe. We can't just believe what Hollywood tells us. We can't just believe because of the afterlife and all these books. Do you know that the number one selling books right now are about heaven and people's proclamation of going to heaven and coming back? Now that's not a bad thing. And I can tell you that I have mixed feelings about a lot of those books, because the Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no one really knows. So when people go to the afterlife and they have these vivid dreams and they write about it and they make millions of dollars, and now they're detailing us and they're adding to the book, because the Bible says that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, there may be some contradiction. But if we don't know that, we will believe anything that people tell us. Does that speak to some of you? And again, I'm just saying, you got to know what you believe. You got to understand. Don't just pick up a book and because it inspires you and because you almost had an encounter, you got to know what you believe. Are you with me? Many people believe that when we die, our bodies are going to go to the grave and we're going to become like angels and earn our wings and float like spirits. But we're not going to be ghosts. Listen to me this morning. We're not going to be ghosts. What did Jesus tell his disciples in Luke 24:39? Look at my hand and my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. Ghosts do not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Listen to me this morning. Don't believe everything you see on TV, because we are going to resurrect and live in a real world. It's called heaven. We were having a conversation with some of the worship team and it was beautiful. They were like, yeah, we're just dreaming of what could be. We're dreaming about what heaven's going to be like. I mean, it's sad to say, and I'll just say it. Maybe, there's some people that they're like, well, they're like single and they're like, well, I don't want to go to heaven until I have sex. And it's crazy to think that they think sex is going to be better than heaven. Sounds funny, but I'm just bringing it down to earth. There are some people that are like, I don't want to die until I experience this, and I don't want to go to heaven until I get this. So somewhere in their mind, they're confused and thinking that something here on earth could be better than heaven. Where did that come from? That came from fleshly desire. That came from an inability to understand the truth. But we're going to have physical bodies. And when we get to heaven, this is important to understand, because Christianity affirms that our body and soul will be resurrected and united with Christ in the last days. We're not going to be spirits. And again, why is this important? Because if Jesus had been a ghost, listen to me. If Jesus had been a ghost, if he didn't raise from the dead, if he was just a ghost, then redemption would not have been accomplished. His physical body had to rise. That's why Paul said once again, but if we preach that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and our faith is worthless. Are you with me? See, Paul is basically saying, if Christ did not rise from the dead, we are still in our sins, meaning that we're bound to hell. And he didn't stop there. He said, if Christ did not physically rise from the dead, then our hope of Christianity is an illusion. This is why a physical resurrection is important. Are you with me? Listen, guys, heaven is for real. And I don't want to cover this now. I don't want to go way off. But man, when you go to heaven, you're going to have like a new upgraded body. Come on, somebody. Real deal. You might have some scars. You ain't going to have them there. I don't know exactly what we're going to look like, but I can tell you this. We've been made in his image. And what God created will eventually happen for those who believe. Number three. The resurrection provides us power to live a God-honoring life. And I got to say it like that because, man, sometimes we're like, we could barely make it. But God didn't call us to live under our circumstances. He called us to triumph over them. He didn't call us to become scum and scum of the world. No, he called us to subdue the world. We are called and we have enough power to speak life and speak to our situation and give birth to things that are not. That's why we got to speak life. Don't speak death. Don't speak negative. Even if you want to say it, even if it's true, be careful what you say, because once you say it, you can never take it back. Did you know that the resurrection demonstrates God's power over everything, and that power is extended to us as believers? Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. That's deep. That power is given to us so that we can overcome everything. Anything that would try to hold this back. It's stronger than any addiction. It's stronger than any pain. It's stronger than any depression. It's stronger than any discouragement. But that power is given to us. And listen to me. It says you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Well, it's so hard. At some point, you got to draw the line and say it was not just so hard. You wanted to do it. Oh, that's some... Too early? I hope not. It's 1:00. At some point, we got to reevaluate and say, you know what? It wasn't the temptation. I put myself in that situation and I did it because I wanted to. Listen to me this morning. The power of the resurrection provides us power to live a God-honoring life. It's because of the resurrection we quote phrases like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is where you have to understand that there is no demon in hell that can stand against you. And we have no business giving in to our sinful nature. And I know what it is to struggle with some things. Someone say things. I don't know where you're at today, but I simply want to tell you that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ will give you enough authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. The same power that arose God from the grave gives us power to live a God-honoring life. Listen to me, church. We can walk in the power of the resurrection. We can walk in victory. And we can step out by faith and do what God calls us to because of what he did on the cross and for arising on the third day. And lastly, number four, the resurrection gives us hope for eternal life. Someone say eternal life. See, when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus was also making a statement concerning his divine nature. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he was claiming to be the source of both. There is no resurrection apart from Christ, and there is no eternal life apart from Jesus. Jesus is life. I was thinking about this sermon. I was like, man, I'm going to get a t-shirt and put Victory Outreach Tacoma. Jesus is life. Come on, somebody. Let me explain why. Because apart from him, there is no life. Apart from God, we're simply existing. And there are a lot of people today, they're just existing. I love this. I read this quote today. In the social jungle of human existence, there is no feeling of being alive without a sense of identity. I'm going to read it one more time. We're going to bring this to a close. In the social jungle of human existence, there is no feeling of being alive without a sense of identity. Someone once asked me, why is the resurrection so important? Because the resurrection is what separates us from every other religion. Understanding who your daddy is. Come on, somebody. I should probably title this, Who's Your Daddy? Amen. This is why it's important to know what you believe. Because without a sense of identity, listen to me, you will never live in freedom. You will never experience the fulfillment that God wanted and planned for your life. But you got to know what you believe this morning. John 10:10, Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to its full. The saddest thing in life is when a person lives without purpose. Jesus came so that you and I can live life to its fullest. This is why I continue to beat the drum that we got to grow in what? Oh, come on. Tell me somebody's been listening to the preaching. We need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's been our theme scripture all year. We have to grow in the grace and in the... Somebody say, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of who? That needs to be a priority within our lives. If we don't grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we will never understand our identity. And if we don't understand our identity in this social human jungle, we will never live in freedom. This is why for some of you, someone told you about Jesus and you just came alive. God changed my life. I don't know what's happening to me, but there's something inside, man. There's this passion coming up and I just feel like I need to tell the world. Now, some of you, I got to speak to your spirit because that fire has been quenched. But you got to fan in the flame. You got to go back to when God touched you. Some of you got to remember when you came to these altars and you used to cry. You used to come before church. You used to pray. You used to read your word and you were so grateful just to be alive. You were grateful just because someone talked to you. But without the identity of Christ, we're simply in struggle. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what separates us from every other religion. Every other religion was founded by a man or a prophet who died and went to the grave. Listen to me, church. It was only Jesus that died, was buried, and rose from the grave on the third day. God does more than just give life. He is life. And therefore, death has no power over him. See, the beautiful thing about God's resurrection is that we share in triumph. 1 John 5:11 says this. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And that's why I say Jesus is life. Without him, there is no meaning. That's why I was just listening to that song earlier, and I was like, man, your presence is all I seek. It's all I want. It's all I need. And without it, there's no meaning. Listen, church. It's my heart's desire that we develop an eternal perspective in a very carnal and materialistic world. Our view of the resurrection will impact, listen to me, how we serve God. That's why I said for 2 months we're just going to focus on the Lord, just on Jesus. We're not going to make just Easter a resurrection. We're going to focus on the Lord for the next few months. I mean specific teachings about Jesus the Christ. Because we're committed to growing in the knowledge and in the grace of our Lord. Heaven is available to those who believe. Those that confess with their mouth that He is Lord and believe in their heart that He rose from the dead. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed.